Today's Bible reading is John chapter 8, verses 21 to 32. Once more Jesus said to them, "I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him I tell the world." They did not understand he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many believed in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
We're in a series dealing with freedom. And so we're in our second week.
So I'm going to begin with a question. When did the Second World War end? Who knows the date? 6th of June? Any other dates at all? Well, it kind of depends who you ask, okay? Ask Graham. If you ask this guy, Hero, he actually believed the war ended in 1974. On the 26th of December 1944, he was sent to an island in the Philippines. And the very last order he was given was disrupt the enemy, don't surrender. Later that year, the war had actually ended, and they were given leaflets, came flying down on the island to let everybody know that the war had ended. And Hero had gone into the bush with three of his mates. And they received these messages that said the war had ended. And they talked amongst themselves and they decided that it was propaganda. The war really hadn't ended. 6 months later, one of those four walked away and surrendered, but the other three stayed in the bush. 1954, one of them was shot and killed. A second one was killed in 1972. There was a Japanese man called Suzuki. He wanted to see three things. He wanted to meet this guy that he'd heard about was still in the war. He wanted to meet a panda, and he wanted to meet the abominable snowman. They were the three things he wanted to do in his life. And so he got on a boat, and he went right off to this island, and he began to traipse around the island looking for this person that they believed was still in the war. It took him 4 days, and he eventually ran into this man, Hero, and he ended up taking a photo with him that he then took back to Japan and showed the Japanese to say this mythological person actually is still in the bush. And they tried to get this guy to come out and surrender. He said, "No, my last order was do not surrender, do not commit suicide. I haven't been stood down yet." And they actually had to go and find his commander to fly him to this island. And his commander went out into the bush and met this man. And he said, "You can now stand down." So for Hero, the war didn't end until 1974. And I think sometimes we don't understand that the battle has been won, but we're still living under the lies of the enemy. The scriptures actually say that God has won the war, but many people live under the long shadow of the lies of Satan. And that's why I want us to focus on what does freedom mean for us as believers, that we can live in such a way as to step out from the lies. Last week we did that famous quote of Martin Luther King, free at last, thank God Almighty, we're free at last. But are we really living in the freedom that God has called us to? And I want to look at this passage and look at a number of lies that it's really tempting for us to look at. The first one is this. It says, once more Jesus said to him, I'm going away and you will look for me and you will die in your sin. And then later on it says, I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. There is a tradition, and it's really hard to get rid of, is that if we follow complicated religious traditions, we earn our forgiveness. We read the stories of the Pharisees and we see all the laws that they had, 612 laws or whatever in the Old Testament. And it's very easy for us to take those things and begin to put them upon us. What does it mean to walk in forgiveness in Jesus? The truth is, if you believe in Jesus, you will not die in your sin. You're actually free. But what we tend to do is we put the cart before the horse. We keep on saying, if you will pray, if you go to church, if you give your money, if you go to a small group, if you do communion, if you're kind to people, whatever it is, many of us in our hearts still feel as though we've got to do those things before we live in freedom in God. And it's really important to remind us that's a lie of Satan continually telling us that if we do the right thing, we're accepted. And we have to constantly remind ourselves, no, we're accepted so that we can do the right things. These things are good, but they're not necessary. We do them because God loves us, not because we're trying to get God to love us. And it's a very dangerous thing to start going, if only I, if only I, if only I. I know one of the things growing as a Christian, the longer you've been a Christian, the more aware you are of the things you actually get wrong, because you're just kind of more and more sensitive to it. And you have to be very careful that in understanding how far you are from God, that you don't think it's anything that you do that will get you back into relationship with God. God loves us and will never deny us. The second lie is this, is that in our world, people will say Jesus was a great wise teacher, but ultimately no different than anybody else. The scriptures say, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. It is really, really hard to say to people in our culture, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. There's only one way to God. It makes us sound arrogant. But I was talking to somebody just the other day and they said, you know, if all the other religious traditions are right, we are right as well. Because they all say it doesn't really matter which way, as long as you believe in God and you'll get to God. If they're all right, we're okay as well. But if we're right that there's only one way to God, then they're in trouble. And we have to not buy into the lie of our culture that just says Jesus was this great and wise teacher. And some of our songs remind us of that. Servant song, from heaven you came, helpless babe. Or this is our God, the servant king. There are people who will say that Jesus is not our God. And I believe the scriptures clearly teach us that the only reason the event of 2 weeks' time of Easter, of the sacrificial death of Jesus, means anything at all, is that he was the God that came from heaven to earth. And that in his death there was the ultimate sacrifice. And so we have to be very, very careful. We're not arrogant to people, but we are able to say, actually, we believe the way of God through Jesus is the only certain way into salvation. Now, will there be people in heaven who haven't believed in Jesus? Well, that's up to God. I believe there possibly will be. God is kind and gracious, but the only certain way we have been given is to believe and follow Jesus because of who he is. And the kind of God we follow says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Freedom of prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. That's the God that we actually have come to worship. The second part of this lie is that some people say, now, he's just a wise teacher, and we have to say, Jesus was hearing from God the Creator in a unique and special way. It says it there, but he who sent me is trustworthy. What I have heard from him I tell the world. The one who sent me this, he has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. No other religious leader pretends that they have heard from their father and only do what their father has taught. And so we believe in a God that is very different. I actually believe it's like having a hotline. You know, there's a hotline, there used to be a hotline between Russia and America. And if things were starting to go wrong, the presidents would get on the hotline to each other so they could cut through all the fluff. And we have a direct hotline. And we don't believe that Krishna and Buddha and everybody else, that they are equal amongst people. We say Jesus is the one and the only way into God. The third consequence of believing Jesus is just like everybody else, is that he actually knew beforehand some events. He actually knew he would die. He actually knew those events. None of the other religious leaders pretend that they knew what the future would bring in terms of the way in which he would bring us back to God. But Jesus says, I know the time and the place. I know what I've come here for. Now, it's amazing that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to the Father, I don't want this, but your will not mine be done. He understood the implication of what he was doing. And one of the interesting things sometimes to do is to go and have a look at what the Old Testament actually says about Jesus. There's over 100 prophecies in the Old Testament. When you go and read them and you go, how could somebody have written that? There's one particular part where they talk about somebody being hung on a cross. It was not a way in which they killed people in the day. I think it was about 700 BC. It wasn't until the Romans came that they actually crucified people. And there's these very specific descriptions of the way in which Jesus would be crucified, where he would be born, how he would live, all these amazing things. And that's something incredible to understand about the scriptures, that the scriptures constantly tell us about this one who is to come. The third lie is this one, is that people can believe that truth is subjective, so you're free to do whatever you feel like. And we actually believe that truth is based on the reality of Jesus, that Jesus actually gives us some boundaries that set us free. Isn't it amazing to think that actually you are freer within constraints than you are free to do whatever you like? There was a guy, I don't know if any of you know him, John Cage. He did some really weird stuff. He was a musician and a philosopher. He wrote a symphony called 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds, in which the symphony got and sat there for 4 minutes and 33 seconds and did nothing. And the idea was that they didn't play, you just listened to the silence. He would write music and he would get it randomly selected notes, and then everybody in the symphony would just play these randomly selected notes. And even one time he had the conductor, he had two conductors. And so each of the symphony, they broke up the symphony in half and they watched different composers that the other group couldn't see, and they tried to play together. He believed in randomness and chance and did some really weird stuff. But the really interesting thing is he collected mushrooms, and he didn't collect mushrooms by chance. Because if you collect mushrooms by chance, very quickly you die. He understood in some parts of your life, chance could work, but in some parts of your life, you actually had to follow the rules of the universe, follow the laws of the Creator. And so I like what this says. True freedom is freedom with clear boundaries. True freedom understands the real essence of do's and don'ts. A freedom without restriction that brings comfort is a freedom in chains. And the thing we love about Jesus is that in Jesus there are boundaries out of love. And that in those boundaries, if we live within them, we actually live in freedom, not in bondage. And so we have to be very, very careful that we are believing the truths of Jesus, and that gives us the freedom to live our lives. I want to finish today by just giving an opportunity for anybody who might not have actually confessed Christ. For anybody who actually hasn't committed their lives to Jesus, or anybody who feels like they've walked away. And I'm just gonna ask us to close our eyes, and I'm gonna pray this prayer. And if you want to pray this with me, then I ask that you do that. And that this could be the time when people go, you know what? In Jesus, I find my ultimate freedom to live the life. So let's pray together. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross to rescue me from sin and death and to restore me to the Father. I choose now to turn from my sins, my self-centeredness, and every part of my life that does not please you. I choose you. I give myself to you. I receive your forgiveness and ask you to take your rightful place in my life as Saviour and Lord. Come, reign in my heart. Fill me with your love and your life, and help me to become a person who is truly loving, a person like you. Restore me, Jesus. Live in me. Love through me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the musos come up to sing, if anybody's prayed that, I encourage you to come and have a chat with me afterwards, or have a talk to another leader about the freedom in Christ.